Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to the Revive Radio Show with your host, Saquon King, a.k.a. D. King, a.k.a. Mr. Blood Certified. And we will be invading your speakers live every Monday at 8 p.m. with music and interviews from some of the hottest urban Christian artists of today here on the Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Stay tuned.
Honestly, I love the art of hip-hop. I don't always love the message of hip-hop. You know, hip-hop is not just a mirror of what is. It should also be a reflection of what can be. And you know, a lot of times folks say, well, I want to keep it real and I want to be down. And then we're just trapped in, you know, what is. And the question is, you know, imagine something different. Imagine a community that aren't torn up by violence. Imagine communities that where we're respecting our women. Imagine communities where knowledge and reading and, you know, academic excellence are valued. Imagine communities where fathers are doing right by their kids. That's also something that has to be reflected. Art can't just be a rear view mirror. You know, it should have a headlight out there.
What's up, what's up, what's up, guys? This is your boy, Daquan King, a.k.a. D. King, and you are listening to the Revive Radio Show. And, man, I'm just so happy to be here with you guys tonight, man. I do apologize for last week. A family emergency came up, and I had to cancel the show at the last minute and really didn't want to do it, but it was more of one of those things that I had to do and just take care of family business. So I'm back with you guys, and definitely happy to be with you. If you was praying for me, thank you for your prayers. I'm definitely praying for you all. I'm praying that that this show is going to be a blessing to somebody tonight. I'm really looking forward to it. I got my big brother from Jayville on the show with us, and I think we're just going to have an excellent time tonight. So I'm really looking forward to getting into it tonight. So let's go ahead and get it started how we always do. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this show, for what is going to happen. I have a plan. My brother has a plan. I know what I want to talk about. He knows what he wants to talk about, God, but you're the one who directs our steps, Lord. And you know exactly who needs to hear this word and who needs to hear the songs that are going to be played and who needs to be inspired through what we have to share. And so, God, I pray that you use us on tonight, God. Arrest our thoughts, our lips, our tongue, our actions, reactions, just arrest everything that is about us and use everything, Father, that you can for your glory, God. So whether it's the way we talk or how fast or how slow we talk, God, I just pray that it's all for your glory, God. Every conversation, every topic, every detail, God, be for your glory, God, and that somebody is changed or transformed. Somebody receives you on tonight, Father. So we pray that many lives are touched. We thank you, Father, for allowing this show, God, to be heard through many ears throughout this nation, God, and I pray that you can make it big so that we can continue to make your name big in this earth. God, I just give you all the glory and honor that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. And guys, you know, as we always do, after we lift up God who comes first, of course, in my life, my wife comes second. She may or may not be listening right now. But even if she is listening or if she isn't listening, it does not matter to me. She is still deserving of every bit of praise that I could conjure up. She truly is a woman after my heart. She's an amazing woman. And so I got to give a shout out to my wife, Nana. Baby, I love you. I could not imagine doing life without you. You know, there is nothing in my life that I do that I want to do by myself. I want you at my side in every aspect of life, and I'm just so grateful to have you as a wife. Thank you for being just a follower of Christ in the way that you live your life. It shows, and those who are blessed by you and by knowing you, it's because of your life with God. And so I'm just grateful to know you. I'm grateful to have you as my wife and to get to share the rest of my life with you. You truly are the superlative. So, yeah, I love you, girl. So, hey, listen, guys. Now let's get into the show. So, we'll play a quick song real quick, and then we're going to bring on my brother Demetrius. And we're just going to talk about some stuff tonight, man. We're going to talk about the role of religion in church, in our community, how we've allowed it to affect everything around us. What role should it play? You know, what things are happening in our church that are more religious than they are relation, you know, and how can we get back to a place of having a relationship with Christ in everything that we do, even if that's in how we, the music we listen to or the way we preach. You know, it should always be about revelation and not religion. And I mean, not religious, you know, speech or religious jargon or religious this, that, and the other. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. That's what we're going to get into, man. As y'all always know, man, I like to play songs from people that I know personally. I also like to do to interview people, you know, that I know personally, man. It makes for a better interview, you know, when you got a relationship with them. But if you do know some cats that you want to be interviewed on the show, or if you do want to get some music played, you can always hit me up on my website. Not on my website, but on my email address. It's dkingent, and that's dkingent@gmail.com. Or if you want to call into the show, it's 657-383-0309. Let's get into it, man. Keep it striking.
Okay.
trippin', I ain't got no worries. I smile, I'm encouraged. And it's one thing that I know. Jesus, my everything. What? My everything. Say what? My everything. You my everything. Yeah, you know, I normally sing after the songs go off, but that was like, you know, one of my tracks where, you know, it's kind of like chanting. So, but don't worry, guys. I got a singer on the show today. So, right, when his songs go off, I'm going to finish them mugs with my own singing. So, you know, we're gonna do it, you know, a love it or shove it type thing. And, of course, y'all going to love my voice because, you know, I sound good and I can sing a whole lot better than the rest of the singers in the world. Yeah, I'm delusional a little bit, but the truth of the matter is I believe I can sing. It sounds good to Jesus, and because it sounds good to Jesus, it must sound good to you. That's the only way you can look at it, you know what I mean? So when you hear me sing at the end of the songs, it's because I know that it sounds good to you, and I don't want to deprive you of the opportunity of getting to hear your voice sing and worship the Lord, our Savior, the risen Christ. And if you got a problem with that, then maybe you're not saved. I ain't saying you're not saved. I'm just saying maybe you don't love Jesus like I do, because if you did, you want to hear me sing to Jesus. That's all I'm saying. Y'all welcome my homeboy. Welcome my homeboy Demetrius on the show, man. Hey, what's up, bro? How you doing, man?
Man, I'm loving life and enjoying your show, man. You are hilarious, little bro.
Thank you, man.
I've never known you to be a singer. Now, you spit fire, but I've never known you to be a singer.
Yeah, man. Hey, look, God bless me, man, with multiple talents, man. I'm very versatile.
There you go.
Say don't
no
know.
More. Say
you
no
know
more.
Yeah, bro. I'm very versatile, man. I can do a lot of stuff, bro. I may not be able to do it well, but I can do it. You know
hey, well, there you go then. That's
hey,
it. That's it.
I ain't going to sit on what God gave me. Now, you can sit on it if you want to, but I feel like if God gave it to me, I should share it with the world regardless of how good it sounded to anybody else. You know what I mean?
Turn up. So, turn up, baby. Turn up.
But the truth be told, though, bro, I actually started out singing before
oh,
I ever
wow,
rapped. I started out in the church singing, man. I sung in the chorus for all throughout middle school and high school. My grandmother used to go around, you know how they did, go around from church to church, man, whenever she was at a church, and they give their testimony, you know, and how they stand up and sing the song before they give their testimony. She'd tap me on the shoulder. I sing the song, she give her testimony. And see, that was my introduction.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how I got started.
You was her soloist.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's
you know what I'm
saying?
So, my song was Tomorrow. That was the jam. I sing
well,
it everywhere, bro.
Playing.
What?
You better start playing. That's still my song right now.
Bro, that's the jam, bro. So,
yeah, yeah.
So,
that
yeah,
works.
That's how I got started, man.
I actually lived in Detroit back then. So, man, I used to see them sing it all the time. So, that's definitely a classic.
See, but then what got me into rapping is when I first heard It's Time by the same group. Uh-huh. And when I heard that, I was like, dang, you can rap in church?
There
and
go.
From there, I made the shift from singing to rapping, man, and it's been history from there, man. But that's my bio.
Absolutely.
That's how I got my start. What about you, man? Tell people a little bit about you, man.
Man, it's funny, man. You know, why you say that, man. I'm actually in Cincinnati, Ohio right now. And I got started in church, man. I was 5 years old. My grandma took me to church. She went to the AME church. And and they used to have testimony service. And my grandma gave me a tambourine and said, sing. And I sung Jesus on the Main Line. And after that, once I saw the crowd reaction, it was like, bro, this is what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. Yeah. So grandmothers play a huge impact and an important role in all our lives, you know.
Yeah, man. Thank God for them, bro. They got us on track.
Absolutely.
So you've been singing since you was a legit man. So I mean, how has that worked out for you? Like, who are some of the artists you work with, man? Tell us, just give us a preview into you.
Man, well, let me tell you some of the artists that influenced me. Starting out, influence number one was Michael Jackson. Definitely James Brown, The Temptations, Prince, you know. Shout out to his transition print. Little Red Corvette did it for me. It wasn't Purple Rain. It was Little Red Corvette. once I saw that, once I heard that, it was a done deal. And then, of course, I lived in Detroit, so we had commission coming to our church. We had the Clark sisters. Matter of fact, Karen Clark Shearer used to play the organ for her husband when he preached at our church. And we had commission when Fred Hammond was skinny. We used to play the bass and be singing in the group. So, man, I've had a lot of influence. Marvin Gaye, all the way up to Tupac, you know, whoever else, man. A Petty D, you know what I'm saying? Some of them boys from Grape Tree and Lil Rascal and the whole nine, man. I just had a plethora of influence, man, throughout my music. So it hasn't always been gospel, but it's been great music. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, bro. That was the same with me, bro. For me, man, like my start, man, into rapping really was like worldly because I was rapping before I heard, you know, gospel rap, but it was definitely LL Cool J. You know what I'm saying? That was me, bro. I was really hooked on East Coast rappers, man. You know, coming from the South, growing up in the country, you know. All I knew of was really East Coast rappers, man. So, like, that was my big, you know. But then when Outkast came through and T.I.,
oh, it was over with.
They changed the game for me, man. They changed
the
game for me.
One to the two, three to four. You don't know nothing about it.
What? Come on, bro. Come on. Go down that road, bro. Trust me. Trust me, you don't want to go down that road with Outkast.
Listen, your mama and your cousin, too.
Oh, man.
You don't know nothing about that.
Rolling on the street, right, bro? Coming up, slamming Cadillac Dough. Hey, and then Goody Mob, people don't dance no more.
Oh, man.
All
they do is this. That's it, absolutely.
But back in the day, though, music was like, you know, I can't say that, you know, because there's really still some really good music out that's coming out
there
now.
It's
just that the mix, you know, the wheat and the tares are definitely growing together.
Well, you know, you don't get a lot of mainstream radio airplay for positive rap. So, you know, record execs and a lot of radio, man, they got an agenda, so they're pushing. You don't get a chance to hear some of the positive secular raps because there's a lot of positive secular rappers out there that's tired of this foolishness just as much as we are on this side, you know what I mean? So unfortunately, we don't get a chance to really hear them on the mainstream because they don't get an opportunity to get played, you know?
Man, I know exactly what you're talking about, bro. Trust me, I know. But you know, that's all a part of the game. Like, you know, you really have to make a name for yourself, man. And you know, we're really entering into a time, man, where you know you have to invest, you have to push yourself, and because really all that's being played is stuff that panders to really the lowest common denominator. You know, unfortunately. And that's just where it's at, man. But you know, that's music as a whole. Let's talk about, you know, your music. So you have this song out, this song called Anything? I hope I'm saying
Anything.
Anything, I don't know why I was calling Anytime earlier today. Anything. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about that. We're going to go into that, man, and then I got a little surprise for you, too.
Okay. Anything, man, was produced by my homeboy, Crane. Y'all know Crane out of South Carolina. Choice, his name is Choice. And he produced the track. And, man, I was actually going through a particular, you know, a down set, man. And I had to remember that God said I could do anything, you know what I'm saying, if I trust him. So when I wrote the song, I was really talking to myself. Encouraging myself, you know, like David said, he had to encourage himself.
So I was
really lifting up myself, and I just started playing the song every day, reminding me what God had given me the ability to do. And man, next thing you know, what I was believing for, it came to pass, man, because I just started prophesying to myself through this song, man. So this song was really birthed out of a need, a necessity, and it really became prophetic to me. And when I went on tour, man, I really, you know, I sung it, and it really blessed a lot of people.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, let's get into it, man. Without further ado, man, this is Anything But My Homeboy Demetrius. Yo.
Turn us up.
Like this. Let's light up tonight like the 4th of July. We can do anything we want to. Just look to the sky, hold your head up high. We can be anything we want to.
You can be anything, you can go anywhere. Just as long as you dream your dreams, you never know what hope can bring. I promise it'll take you there.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website, at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
Look at your girl. You like, where your girl?
Like, what you smiling at him for? What you smiling at him for? Oh, you want me to go get a blouse? You want me to go get a blouse?
Don't you dare walk up in the house looking like that, though.
For sure, for sure.
But that was the thing, though, man. Like, the dude was an artist. He literally.
Yeah.
Himself, like, he wasn't just an artist that did, but he was an artist who was, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, he was an artist, not, you know, because I say, you know, I am a rapper, but I rap, I don't embody rap. He embodied the art, and I feel like I just lost my caller. I lost my man. So I'm gonna chat a little bit more about Prince until my man gets back on the line, until we get him back in the show. But the guy literally did, he embodied the music that he did. And to me, that was just amazing. Prince wasn't just somebody who did music, but he was someone who was the music that he did. And so that's why he came across in so many different ways. Hey, welcome back. Welcome back.
Sorry about that, man. I dropped the phone.
It's all good. Think about Prince.
the little red Corvette made the phone jump out my hand.
Hey, so what people may not know is that yes, you are an artist, you're a singer, you do a little rap, you be dabbling in rap too, but you're also a pastor, you preach. Like me, how I preach, because I be preaching, but I ain't got no church, you know what I mean? I just kind of be renegade. preaching. Like anybody who will listen, anytime I have a microphone, I'm preaching. You literally go out and preach. I mean, you're literally a pastor. You pastor the church, and it's called Vision. What's the name of your church, man? Vision.
It's called the Vision Center.
I knew it. All right, and so you've been on this this message recently about religion, and I want you to kind of just share that with the people, man. And we'll go ahead and get into our topic for tonight. All
right, cool. Let me get my wife listening. So I got, like you did earlier, man, I got to give a big shout out to my ride or die, my number one, my ace boom coon. You know what I'm saying? That's my sugar, man. Rashida,
yeah.
She actually pastors with me, man. So we hold it down together at the Vision Center, man. And we've been doing a series all month long in April titled The Death of Religion. You know, for some, they really didn't understand that what that title meant, but you know, we felt it was necessary to bury religion so that that our ministry can operate and do what it was called to do. You know what I'm saying? In our community, in our city, and ultimately all around this country.
Mm-hmm. So give us a preview of that, man.
Let me give you this, okay? Let me give you this story right quick out of the Bible, right? Jesus asked his disciples, everybody know this story. He said, Who do men say I am? And then he said, okay, after they gave him all his answers, he said, but who do you say I am? But what's interesting about that particular story, we always talk about the who you say I am and who does men say I am, but we never pay close attention to where God asked that, where Jesus asked that particular question. He asked that particular question at a place called Caesarea Philippi. He was standing on a road in a place that included all of the temples of the Syrian gods. He stood at a place where all the Greek gods looked down. He stood at a place that the most important river in Judaism sprang to life. He stood at a place where the beautiful white marble home of Caesar was located. And I believe that he chose this place for a particular reason. He could have asked that question anywhere. He could have asked that question actually in a temple. He could have asked it in a church, in a temple. But he chose a place where all the religions were engulfed into this region. And he said, "Now, who does men say I am? Now, who do you say I am?" And I believe that's important, man, because at the end of the day, you know, all of our ministries, no matter who you are, what church you come from, whatever denomination, whatever, it should be summed up in four words: for God is love. And that's in 1 John 4:8. So, you know, I believe that religion doesn't allow us to operate in that true authenticity that God is. He is love. So we shouldn't be battling against Buddhists. We shouldn't be fighting against Muslims. We shouldn't be fighting against each other. We should be operating in love, because that's who God is. He asked his disciples, "But who do you say I am?" And I believe that's so important, that as we operate in ministry, who do you say God is? You know what I'm saying? What do you think his ministry was about? And all I know, man, is that John 3:16, it says simply this: for God so loved the world. It never said that he loved just Christians. It never said that he didn't love anybody else but believers. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So for me, man, my wife and I, the Vision Center is all about love, and our focus is in partnering with people to bring about transformation into our communities, into our cities, and into people's personal homes. If they're not making no money through commerce, ain't too much transformation gonna be taking place. So so that's our job, man. So that's what we really believe that our ministry is all about: for God is love, four words. So you know, we believe that you can't have authentic love for God and still hold on to religion and think you're better than somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Because we're no better than nobody else. You know what I mean?
That's awesome, bro. So really, really what you're saying is religion has become more fleshy than it has spiritual.
Absolutely. I believe that man made religion. I don't believe that God ever intended for us to have denominations. I don't ever believe that God intended for us to have separation and diversity. That's why I believe that's why I focused on that place, Caesarea Philippi, because at that particular place, every religion was present. And he asked, who do you say I am? And so I don't believe that God created just one particular religion. I believe that all of us are God's children, and I believe that as soon as we lose religion, we can begin to work together. You know what I'm saying? Think about it for instance right now. You know you got Christians burning Quran.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of love does that spark to somebody who believes that everything they know and stand for to be true is in that book? The same if a Muslim came and burnt the Bible. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
How are we displaying love by operating and acting not in love? It's an oxymoron. It doesn't make sense. So the Bible declares this, for with loving kindness, Have I drawn?
Yeah.
And so for me, man, I see people come to church, man. I seen people at a church one time tell a man he had to leave because he had a body odor and it was upsetting people around him. That's not love. Mm.
I've
seen people diss other people that come in church. You may have a young lady that's her occupation may be stripping, but she still loves God. I'm going to say that one more time because I want everybody to hear that. Her occupation is stripping, but she still loves God. And so the only clothes she may have purchased is her occupational clothes, but she come to church because she just want to love on God with people looking at her like she a hoe. And so for me, that's not love. You know what I'm saying? That's judgmental. That's judging, which would turn that particular lady away. And so I just think we have a lot of work to do, man, if we lose our religious mindset. And to me, religion stands for this: I'm better than you. To me, that's what religion stands for. I'm better than you. And if we lose that mindset and realize that none of us are better than the other, but we all are one because we all came from the same source, man, I believe we'll start treating our brothers and sisters like they're our brothers and sisters, in spite of what religion they are, in spite of what occupation they are, in spite of what side of town they grew up on, in spite of how much money they got in the bank, and last but not least, in spite of what color they skin is.
Okay.
So that's why I believe religion got to die, man, because the most segregated time of the week is on Sundays.
Sunday mornings, man.
Yeah. We go
and the
to
most
school
desegregated
together,
is on Saturday.
Yeah. We go to school
Saturday
together.
Night before.
We do all
I'm sorry.
Stuff.
But yeah.
At the end of
the
day, Sunday, you know what I'm saying? We somewhere else. So I really believe that that's why religion got to die, man.
Okay. So how do you think we do that then? I mean, I understand introducing, you know, we're going back to a place where we love each other and all that. But, you know, I was listening to something on the radio. I'm a big NPR fan. And the guy was talking about how about Fox News and how, like, you know, so many people can't stand Fox News, you know, so fair and balanced or whatever. But truth be told, they're not really fair and balanced because they only preach Republican. So it can't really be fair and balanced. But he was saying, you know, how we shouldn't get down on Fox News because they are who they are. They're not going to change. The best way to deal with them is to accept them for where they are and to learn how to work with them. Now, this had nothing to do with the Bible, and not saying that's definitely the case for the word, but, you know, I wonder how do we change this, because, it's, you know, we can't really walk up into AME church or an Methodist a Methodist church or an Episcopal. You know what I'm saying? We can't walk up into a Baptist church and say, okay, well, you know, this ain't love. You got to change this. How you going to do it? You know what I mean? How do we teach our message and still bring them into the fold, love them where they are, and get to heaven with them without saying, I got the answer, you don't?
Well, I think that's a great question, and I think, you know, man, I haven't been in church all my life. I've been in the streets for a long time, and one thing I before I changed my life, but one thing I learned is people aren't necessarily listening to what you say, but they're watching mm-hmm. how you live, and so I believe that message of love, it starts from within. You know what I mean? It's easy to go up somebody and tell them, hey, man, you don't need to do this, you don't need to do this. But if I can show you better than I can tell you, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? My children watching me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like my children, they listening to me, but they watching me more than they listening. So if they see me arguing at their mama, if they see me calling her out her name, if they see us fighting and fussing, then if I tell them you shouldn't do this, it's a contradiction to what I live. So I believe, man, the message of love, it starts from within. For in each and every one of us, God lives. So if God lives inside of us and God is love, you know, my message has to be my what I do every day, how I treat my brothers, how I treat my sisters, how I treat the different race, how I treat different people that have a different ideology from what I do. So I think it starts with us individually before we can even really take that corporately. And I've been working on myself. Now, one thing I believe in teaching truth, there are a lot of things in our history that hasn't been told to us that's not necessarily lining up with the truth. So I always go back and teach the truth. But that don't mean that I don't like anybody because I'm teaching truth. You understand what I'm saying? I still walk in love, but I also got to teach truth. So, you know, that's what I believe, man. I believe that God loves everybody, the liar, the killer, the dope boy, the homosexual, you know what I'm saying, the whatever, you know what I'm saying? I believe the thief. I believe that he loves each and every one of us, man. And our key is to display God's love. Because the truth is this, the only way people are going to see God is through who?
It's through us.
So if I'm a representation of who God is, then I got to act and operate like God did and would.
Boom.
And that's simple. You know what I'm saying? It ain't really a science behind the methodology. It's just walking love, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So the reason I guess I asked that question is because people hear from where they are. You know what I mean? Like, you know, people know if they do better once they know better, or, you know, I basically hear from my set of experiences. You know, if I haven't experienced anything outside of my town or my city, then it's going to be hard to tell me about Greece and the Phoenicians and this, that, and other. I mean, you could tell me about it, but it's hard for me to really conceive it and receive it. You know what I mean? And then you have a lot of people who are really just stuck. You know what I mean? Like when it comes to church, they don't want nothing to change. Nothing to change. Not the flower pot, not the podium where the pastor preaches at, you know, not the way they do altar call. I mean, you know, they've been doing altar call for that same way for the last 200 years. And because my great grandmama did it this way, this is how I do it. Not that it's right or that it's wrong. It's just that this is the tradition and this is how I know it to be. But, you know, if a new car come out, they got the new car.
Absolutely. I mean, they ain't still wearing bell bottoms from the '70s neither. So
everything else
can
change.
What that says is
that people have taken their relationship with Christ as, and so I don't want to say that because like me and you, we could both have this topic, bro. Trust me. What that says to me is that some people can allow themselves to get stuck on a style or a method. I mean, a method and miss the message. You know what I mean? So because this is the way that it's always been done, if you do it any other way, then it's a sin. And honestly, bruh, this is how I look at it. At one point, I was really having a hard time with a lot of this new music that's out, bro. Like a hard time. It's some cats out there, man. They rapping, but you just don't know what they saying. And God had to really deal with my heart on that, because once he did, and I got understanding on that, what I began to realize is that's just not for me. That's just it's not me. And that doesn't mean that I have become religious in my style. It's just where I am at personally. Yeah. It doesn't fit with me. That's not my form of art. You know what I mean? Like, some people love Durangos, the truck. I can't see myself driving it. The style just never fits for me, or Aztec Chevy. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, but they still sell. So that means that there's still a market out there and somebody still needs it, regardless of the fact that it's not our fit. You feel where I'm going at with this?
And then take it even a step further, King, like this. You know, at one particular time, people wasn't feeling you or I. You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
They weren't feeling us.
What?
So I get it. You know what I mean? I used to didn't like country music until I had a white roommate that only listened to country music. And the more I listened to it, the more I started, oh, Song of the South. Sweet potato pie, and shut my mouth, boom, 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 song of the wind. All I'm saying is, the more I got used to it, the more I got comfortable with it, the more I began to understand it. And I think, you know what I'm saying, you know, I may not go out and buy a country CD, but I get it. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, okay, all right. So I guess that's where I wanted to kind of like steer this into, because I know I have some listeners that may not be up to speed on what you're saying. They may understand what you're saying, but just may not be digging it. You know what I mean? Like, there's some people who are, it's not that they consider themselves religious or that they're stuck in their ways or that they're traditional or whatever. That's just the way that they know how to do it. And if honestly, if we took some people and got them out of the way that they know how to do stuff, they will fall flat on their face. They'll lose their relationship with Christ, because that's what they hinge their life on. And it's actually, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Only because who am I to say what works for them? But I can tell you, for me and my house, just the whole religion, I'm doing my best to always be progressive and to understand that, you know, Jesus loves it. When Jesus said, look, I came for the sick. Those who are healed, they don't need a physician. You know what I mean? So it is important for me to love people who don't look like me. It is important for me to love people who others may consider sick spiritually, because they may not know the Bible like I know it, or they may not walk like I walk. But those are the people who are dear to, they're the main reason why Jesus came to this earth. If it wasn't for them, and I'm saying them because it's really me too. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but what we do is we pull ourselves aside and we say them. But if it wasn't for my sickness and my disease and my mess ups and my mistakes and my failures, then Jesus wouldn't have never came.
I think, King, that we can't let people off with just saying, you know, if that's them. I mean, if you have a mindset that you're better than anybody else, if you have a mentality that you're better than anybody else, then you're religious. You understand what I'm saying?
I agree.
Okay to know that you're better off, but it's never okay to think that you're better than. And I think that's the key.
Yeah, I believe this, man. Whenever you compare, you belittle. So anytime you compare the way I do things to the way you do things, somebody has to be belittled in that situation. So
absolutely,
I agree with you on that. I'm not saying that anybody should be given a pass or that it's okay. I guess the argument, and I want to make this argument only because I could sit here and agree with you. But you know, I want to add that balance, because we do have a balance of not just the listeners. Forget that. My main focus is to make sure that we cover it all. Even though we have some people who may say my way is, because trust me, I know. If I could tell you, you know, bro, we done traveled around. We done been places. Folks look at us, I mean, like, you know, like we about to rob them, you know?
In church.
Yeah. And they know you finna minister. They sitting right beside you in the pulpit. You know what I'm saying? So trust me, I understand that. Like, I'm not trying to give anybody a pass. But what I am saying is that there is a certain thing as a taste and a flavor.
I get that.
And so that's what I'm trying to say is, you know, some people their taste is what's cool in water. You know, that's just their taste.
Yeah.
That's their flavor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, some people can look at that and say, oh, that's religious because of the style. But it's not really religious. It's more of their taste. And so I want to make sure that we have that break between, okay, because that means that if their taste is cool in the water, then their taste is also going to church with white gloves on Fifth Sundays. And, you know, and I'm maybe like, you know, grouping right now, but get what I'm saying in a whole. Their taste may be, you know, Cadillac cars and, you know, always keeping their hair covered, head covered when they go into church, and that could be their taste more than their religion, than their religious style. It just could be their taste and the way that they know, the way they came to Christ and the way that they know. But I preached at an AME church, right?
Uh-huh.
3 weeks ago. Now, bro, when you talk about stuff that people was doing in 1942, they were doing it there in 2016. It was like, I felt like I went into a time machine. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
And I would say about 80% of the people in there, man, was over 65, 70 years old, man. And it wasn't there was a lot of people in there. And I'm preaching, you know, with my 35-year-old self at the church. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And this seasoned lady, I'm not gonna say older, just gonna say she's seasoned. She came up and she was very well seasoned. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like, you know, I agree with everything you were saying. I agree that it's time for churches to change. Because I was actually talking about how my church has changed a lot, and it took me a bunch to even warm up to some of the changes that's happened in my church with the lights and the sound, and you know, we just were very fresh with our approach. You know what I mean? And me having to step away from being like, ooh, is this really God? Is this church? Am I at church anymore? You know, understanding that it's about reaching the lost. And the lost, this generation is ever shifting. And if we're not shifting to reach this generation, then the only people we're going to reach is the prior generation. And so she came up to me and she's like, you know, I agree with you. And she was like, you know, the church I go to now, you know, we're like that. And I love it. It was hard for me at first. And this lady is, you know, she's seasoned. So some people can make that adjustment and but still have a taste for where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I just pulled way off of our religion and tradition because this ain't even what I want to talk about tonight, but you said something. I'm like, let's dig into that a little deep. but here's one thing I want to put on real quick, just because we haven't. I have put this up on the flyer. It says in Romans 8:6 says the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. And I really want to end with this, that religion really is, when you're talking about religious people, they're really fleshy people. And religion can be something that's super fleshy. And anytime it's fleshy, it means that there is death either hanging around the door or on the way. Because you cannot grow. You know, you can't grow in it. It's dying. Flesh is a dying thing. It's not a growing thing. It's a dying thing. You know, we think, okay, I've grown up. Actually, no, you've grown closer to death. So anytime you're operating in flesh, you're operating in death because it must die. That's the law of God. But anytime you operate in spirit, it has to live because there's no death with it. And so this is why we have to model our churches now after the spirit of Christ. And the spirit of Christ is loving. It's growing. It's peaceful. It's accepting. It's inclusive of everyone, regardless of race, shape, color, size. None of that matters because heaven does not have a color. As a matter of fact, Jesus spoke to him. He's like, look, are you dense when you go to heaven? There's no marrying and giving into marriage. You know, we're all spirit. So there's no you like James Brown and I like B.B. King type stuff going on in heaven. It's just all Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know what I mean? And glory be to the Father. And so it's time for us to definitely get back to that in our churches. One way or another, we have to figure out a way. And understanding that as a part of this new generation, which you and I are, we have to figure out a way, because I feel like that's our job. Like, it's our task. We're like problem solvers, and we got to sit down and put our heads together and figure out a way to reach this new generation and where they are while doing it in love, understanding that where they are may not be where I came from, but where they are is exactly what God wants them to be, and he wants them to be reached where they are. Because if not, Jesus would not have came and reached us where we were. He would have stayed up in heaven and said, you got to keep doing it this way.
Man, listen. I agree with that, and I wanted to say this along with what you said. I believe that we are called to affect people and not infect people. You know what I'm saying? And religion is infectious.
Big time. Big time. Hey, listen, bro. I feel like we took a whole chunk of that. Your song got 4 minutes and 11 seconds, so I want to get this in real quick before time is up.
There it goes.
Tell people about After All, man. This is tight, y'all. Go ahead.
Man, After All, man, it was birth. Me just giving my testimony, man, produced by Jamie Johnson. And basically me giving my testimony after all I've done, man, God still loved me. So it would be insane for me not to love anybody else, knowing that he loved me exactly where I was when I was doing it. So this song is just like, it's basically saying, after all I've done, you know, he still loves me, man.
Yeah, and that's the type of God we serve, man. All right, y'all
Absolutely.
Heard it here, man. After All, my homeboy Demetrius, let's get it.
After all I've done, how could you use me? And after all my wrong, how could you send me? And after all I've done, how could you trust me? Yeah, me, I'm in the days, I'm still amazed. You chose to choose me. You knew my past, it wouldn't last, and you still called me. After all I've done, how could you use me? And after all my wrong, how could you send me? And after all I saw, how could you consider me? Yeah, me, I'm in a daze, I'm still amazed. You chose to choose me. You knew my past, it wouldn't last, still called me. I'm so glad you prayed for me, you cared for me, you had me on your mind. So glad you took the time, even when I was out of line. I'm glad you prayed for me, you stayed with me, you had me on your mind. So glad you took the time, I was out of my mind. So glad you thought of me, you covered me, you had me on your mind. So glad you made the time when I thought I had plenty time. I'm glad you prayed for me,